Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We promised you a manifesto from MK Party. Well, they don't quite call it a manifesto. They call it the People's Mandate. Now, on the line with us is the MK Party spokesperson, Ms. Nhlamulo Ndlela. Thank you so much for your time, Ms. Ndlela. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening and good evening to your listeners.
Thank you very much for making time for us. Now, as I said, you are calling it the People's Mandate. You preface your mandate with a sense of reflection on the state of the country and the state of the nation, and you're concerned about the core values of this nation. Just maybe give us a sense of what it is that the MK Party is concerned about in relation to core values.
Well, if you look at the theme of the People's Mandate, we talk about reclaiming. Reclaiming, one, our dignity. And, you know, let's use an example. If you go to China or go to Japan, how the companies are run, for instance, or even government, is based on their culture. For instance, the Japanese would not, regardless of the status of the economy, fire someone or let them go or retrench a person. They'd rather move them from one position to the other because it's instilled in their culture. Now, in South Africa, in this day and age, we don't have Ubuntu anymore. Our children today are taking drugs, there's lawlessness. Our kids are getting pregnant at a very young age, and their parents are now having to be to be grandparents, and in some instances, great grandparents. This is un-African. When we were growing up, it was taboo to even think, of having a child, let alone having sexual intercourse. At that age. But today it is, anyone can just do it. And that's a problem that we don't have. Mm. So we need to reclaim our dignity. Mm-hmm. And that also starts with Mkhonto coming in and, changing this constitution. Mm-hmm. Because this constitution, again, it doesn't reflect us. It is not for the black child. It is not for the black business owner. It is not for the black farmer. It is not for the black professional. And again, it's based on Roman Dutch law. It's an African. We need to change this constitution. And by virtue of that, then be able to reclaim our land and give it back to our traditional leaders. Yeah. Who are the rightful owners. And, by virtue of that, ensure that they serve their subjects and the South African citizens. Mm. Again, if you look at, for instance, in China, because everyone likes to talk about, you're going to give the land and what happened. You look at what happened in China. In China, land redistribution in the rural areas actually led to poverty being brought down to 8%. So, and why was that? Because, it stimulated farming and agriculture in those areas. And that's what we should be doing. We should be taking industries to the rural areas. And again, going back to the issue of dignity, the biggest problem is that most of our people are having to leave their families in these rural areas and find themselves in the main city. Mm-hmm. We're saying we need to reverse that. Mm-hmm. Because the impact thereof is a father leaving his young baby. By the time he comes back, the child is 8 years old. That child doesn't even recognize the father. Mm-hmm. And it's not that, it's his own doing. It's just a circumstance because there is no stimulation or rural development. There is no, economies that are stimulating the creation of jobs in those areas. Mm. And that's why you also then find Gauteng, for instance, being so overpopulated, to be honest, because of, these kind of challenges. Look at the Eastern Cape. The Eastern Cape, our Xhosa brothers and sisters there and the Xhosa people, have found themselves migrating to the Western Cape because of poverty in the Eastern Cape. And yet you still find Cyril Ramaphosa's ANC, and in the form of even a mayor that leads, that drives in a Bentley, dodging potholes. And then we still want to say that these people have got a conscience. They don't have a conscience. They've forgotten themselves. That's why this ANC stands for nothing. So we're saying that, again, we want to ensure that we end load shedding and bring back electricity for the people, because you cannot have a vibrant you know, economy without electricity. You can't have a 24-hour economy mm-hmm. without electricity. Mm-hmm. What you're going through right now is deindustrialization, and that's why we don't have a job.
You've touched on two pillars, mainly two pillars. We'll get to the SOEs as well, and as well as the electricity in a short while. But you also speak of reclaiming power as one of your pillars. How are you going to do that?
Well, we need to reclaim the power, meaning reclaiming our spaces. The reality is this economy is run by a select few. The banks are run by a select few, which is predominantly white people. So how are we going to reclaim the power is to be at the center of the economy. Look at what happened. Look at what has happened in the past 6 years. Black professionals have been sidelined. Now, black professionals, by virtue of that, have not been able to reclaim their spaces and gain industrial power and influence. Industrial power and influence is in effect owned by a certain few select, if not the white majority men, specifically in private sector. So we need to open up this economy to ensure that, you know, we stimulate a platform and create a catalyst, even government being a catalyst, for black professionals and small business, black-owned businesses to flourish. Now, that is bringing back our power so that we can play in the mainstream of this economy, including the fact that we're saying that we want to nationalize the Reserve Bank. But when you nationalize the Reserve Bank, you then bring in, you take a decision to say we separate prudential authority from the Reserve Bank. And the reason for that is because we want to ensure that we issue licenses to black bankers. We want to create black banks. I mean, there's trillions of rands that are sitting with PIC, and those trillions of rands are only serving white monopoly capital companies that are listed in the GSE. Whilst you have, and these companies continue to show dividend growth payout in the back of poverty. That is a big problem. So we need to ensure that, we create a platform for black professionals, black businesses, and also other sidelined, individuals, for them to play a role in the mainstream of this economy, including nationalizing the same banks. We want to nationalize these banks, yes. And everyone's saying, well, why? We need to nationalize these banks. These banks, most of them, are funded by the same PIC in terms of how they were structured for many years. And off the back of that, they don't serve the interests of the downtrodden people. Look at what has happened in the past 10 years. The banks have been issuing micro loans to our people. You know, you go to an ATM, the analytics system will tell them that this person is clearly based on their income. Does a quick calculation. We can give you a quick 6,000 rand. And then at an ATM, there you go, give you 6,000 rand. You further indebt yourself. So that's exactly what's happening. What should be happening is that they should be giving developmental funding for entrepreneurial to stimulate entrepreneurial growth and small business growth. But they're not been doing that. So when we talk about power, we need to create a platform for us to be in the mainstream and to lead in all these industries, whether it be banking, whether it be manufacturing, whether it be mining. Black people ought to be leading and taking center stage. And that's what we're about.
So when it comes to the state-owned entities, one of the things that you want to look at is to review even the kind of contracts that are already in place. Explain that for us.
Well, let's start with Eskom. Eskom has got evergreen contracts with the likes of Grindrod. I mean, Grindrod, again, whom we know Cyril Ramaphosa is a shareholder of. So that alone, by virtue of that contract, if you look at that contract, I mean, Eskom is paying double the fee, based on double the fee above the threshold tariff for a contract that's been there forever. No one questions that. But when a small business that's owned by Indians comes in and only gets 3% of the total value of the total contract value, you know, it's a big hoorah. Why? When in actual fact, you've got a company that's literally got an evergreen contract and has been supplying Eskom forever. Why is it that when now a black-owned or a non-white company participates in that space, it's a problem? The same with HFO, the HFO, the lady who got the contract. Favino said it's illegal, there was fraud. No, why is it that when black businesses get contracts and black competent businesses get contracts, it's always questionable? Another thing that will change is these IPP contracts. These IPP We don't need, I mean, when President Zuma was president of this country, we didn't need IPP in order for us to get electricity. We got electricity from, I mean, and even then when we didn't have, when we did have load shedding, we didn't have electricity, it was minuscule, not in the kind of impact that this load shedding is having on the economy. So why do we even sign these IPPs? It further indebts us and puts us in debt, you know, unnecessarily. And again, the rate at which we are paying for that so-called electricity that they're offering is high versus what ought to be the threshold. And who's having to pay for that? Our people. Again,
Mr.
all
me,
the network. In,
let me quickly get to a question that's come through on X, and it's saying, please just clarify your policy on immigration and border control.
Firstly, we're saying our country is for South Africans, non-South Africans, but in the non-South Africans, we're saying you must be documented because we cannot have illegal immigrants in this country. We cannot. What we're also saying is we are going to bring in a new concept and a policy that says our youngsters, in the form of matriculants, girl or boy, must go for conscription 1 year in the army and get them exposed. Because you see, we need patriotic discipline for South Africans. Again, going back to the issue of dignity. So when we bring in a conscription, we will then use these young men and women to protect our borders. Why not? So this is what we need to be doing. If you look at what has happened in terms of crime in this country, basically all he can do is a standard funeral. And you know, it's embarrassing. As a police minister, you find yourself at funerals and you're campaigning at funerals, telling people that they should be buried instead of focusing on crime. All he's doing right now is he's a statistician. Nothing else but a statistician of numbers that bet he can't even properly account for. That's the reality. But if you look at why, in the past couple of years, there's been an insurgence of crime and a surge, more so, of crime because of these illegal immigrants. They come here, they create a crime, and they leave. We don't have any records of them. Huge, huge problem. But what is Jade Geller saying about that? But again, he stands for nothing. He doesn't care. No sense of you know, consciousness anywhere. So what do we expect? So we're saying, when it comes to immigration, we don't want any undocumented South Africans and any undocumented citizens or people in this country.
Andy Leon X is also asking just your position on NHI, please.
Our position on NHI, we're concerned. I mean, we've just seen certain moves being made where we know that it's just going to be benefiting more so white monopoly capital. You know, it's really the same as government subsidizing white monopoly capital to give us services. Which, quite honestly, our state-owned entities, I mean, our state-owned hospital, ought to be, the infrastructure ought to be upgraded. In the past, what, 7-8 years? There's not even one hospital that's been built. Under President Zuma, we had two hospitals and clinics everywhere else. You know, it was actually more than two hospitals. So why is that money being given to white monopoly capital? And again, it's the same thing that is happening if you look at, and I'm diverting a bit, but I want to make the point. Mm-hmm. If you look at what's happening with social development is literally subsidizing checkers. It's subsidizing a spa. It's subsidizing all of these retailers. And how are they, and what's the impact of that? Our people then are having to buy food from them because, remember, Checkers gets all these billions and our people collect their money from them. And guess what happens? They cut out the middleman being the farmers. Why doesn't social development give the farmers that money? So I'm getting to the same concept here with NHI. All they're doing is Cyril Ramaphosa, look at the timing. One thing, just before election, because he knows he's out, and he knows that his friend Rupert has just signed a contract, you know, to take over 2 years ago, the Medicare contract that he concluded. And that now, even the move and the timing of that is very questionable. We know what's going on here. We can see. But again, Cyril is a friend of white monopoly capital, and he'll sign certain things on the basis that he knows that him and his friends are going to be benefiting. That's all they're doing here.
As we wrap,
take that money and put it in the infrastructure of our healthcare system.
So as we wrap, why should anybody vote for MK Party?
Well, all the above, firstly. Secondly,
yes.
We are not a party that is based on politicism. you don't have to have credentials to be part of Umkhonto weSizwe. That's why we stay as a political party. Our approach is that we are not, as a leadership, going to be deployed into government. We will find capable South Africans who are competent and who can go into these positions and deliver. We are not going to be focusing on politics. We are a civil activism-based organization. So if you yourself in the studio, we feel that you are competent enough, we are certainly going to make you the minister, the CEO of GCIS. Why not? We need competence, not politicking.
So can I ask, from where I'm sitting right now, I see that you've released a statement as MK Party saying the party's leadership core had a meeting reaffirming that President Jacob Zuma remains the sole leader of MK Party and will ascend to the union buildings. Your reaction to that, and maybe expand on that a bit more, please.
Well, it is a fact. President Zuma will ascend back into presidency. There's many ways it's going to get. Firstly, we get a two-third majority, we change the constitution, and then still president. Second, we can get an interim, we appoint an interim president, which will be our president, to pardon President Zuma. And then we get him into national assembly and make him the president of the country. So we are confident that we will win in this election. As you're seeing, we've had a resounding response. And what has happened in terms of the decision that was taken by these judges, a few judges make unvoted for judges, you know, unelected judges, making a decision on behalf of South Africans who have got the right, in actual fact, infringing on their right.
Okay.
To do who they want to go into the National Assembly and be president.
So,
exactly what is happening.
Okay. So
we're saying, yes, it is tantamount to the Holocaust on human rights, because that's exactly what happens in this country. People, especially the judicial system, does not respect black people unless you have money.
So just so that we understand and follow, what you're planning to do is to win the majority, and then he will be pardoned because the MK party would have won and they would have been the president. Therefore, former President Jacob Zuma will then go into parliament.
Effectively, well articulated.
Okay. Really appreciate your time. Ndlamulo Ndlela, MK party spokesperson. There you have it. I think that's it. Thanks very much for your time.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.